This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Wednesday, June 16th, 2010. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Hey, Ryan, do you ever get bored of Toastmasters?
I wouldn't say I get bored, but sometimes maybe I get into a little bit of a rut. That would be fair to say.
Well, I never get bored of Toastmasters, of course, but some people do get into a rut. And what do you do when you get into a rut? Do you have the answer to that, Ryan?
I don't, but I know someone who does.
And who is that?
That is Miss Nargis Nirumvala. She is a Dale Carnegie Sales Talk champion, a professional freelance writer. She's had her work published and circulated in 106 countries worldwide. She's also an accomplished public speaker, skilled in developing and conducting persuasive presentations. Nargis has traveled extensively from Singapore to Australia and Dubai to Cyprus, giving her a unique sensitivity to diverse cultural and socioeconomic groups. Born in Mumbai, India, she was educated in the United Kingdom, where she earned a bachelor's degree with honors in psychology and a postgraduate diploma in international political economy. With an Advanced Communicator Silver Award and a Competent Leader Award, Nargis is an active member of Firebird Toastmasters in Vancouver, British Columbia. And she is also the author of the article, Reignite Your Passion for Toastmasters, published in the June 2010 edition of the Member magazine. Nargis Nirumvala, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's great to have you.
Great to have you, Nargis. So, Nargis, I'm going to ask you the same question that Bo asked me. Have you ever found yourself bored or in a rut with Toastmasters? And if so, was that why you decided to write this article?
Honestly, I think I have. And I think I found myself just distracted by life. And I think that happens to a lot of us when you have so much going on in your life, you just get so distracted that sometimes Toastmasters doesn't have the priority that it should have. It doesn't have the relevance, perhaps, and you have to really reignite that fire that drew you to it in the first place. Mm-hmm. So that's what first led me to write the article.
Great. And that article is Reignite Your Passion for Toastmasters, and that appears in the June 2010 magazine of Toastmasters. This was a wonderful article where you list 10 different points, 10 different things that we can do to reignite the passion. So we thought it would be a good idea to go through this article, kind of summarize the 10 points for us, and then we'll kind of take turns of going through these points and give little anecdotes of our own and personal experiences on how it helped us reignite the passions. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. Well, why don't you kick us off with point number one? What's that all about?
So point number one, ask yourself, why did you join? Now, my reason was very different from, I think, what you probably hear from most people. They want to improve their communication skills or they want to meet people. I had had over years so many people tell me about how amazing Toastmasters was, and I didn't listen to any of them. I won't lie. And then one day I was dating my present husband, and we sat down with my mother-in-law. And she was telling me how much she loved Toastmasters. And when she worked for IBM, they had to join Toastmasters, and it was amazing and how much they enjoyed it. They had corporate clubs set up. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, it might be good for the two of you to join together and do something together and, you know, bond. And I thought, what an insane idea. I'm not doing that. Because you don't really listen to your future mother-in-law, do you? You don't really. But time passed, and we eventually went to a meeting, and it sounds crazy, but she was absolutely right. She's going to hear this in the future, so I have to give her props for that. It was a great idea. It did bring us closer together. It was wonderful being able to go with my future spouse, and we both absolutely loved it. So we took my mother-in-law's advice, and we joined Toastmasters.
Great.
Yeah.
And I guess the idea behind this is when you ask yourself, why did you join in the first place, it kind of reignites the passion for why you joined, and you get to relive that.
Absolutely.
Just by thinking about it.
And that memory, because the first meeting we ever went to was a fall contest at the club. Mm-hmm. And I can still remember till today the amazing, amazing speakers we heard. We were blown away. Right. We had never seen such speaking before, and we joined the same day.
Great. Wonderful story. Wow. All right, number two.
Mentor another member.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
So, Ryan, did you have an amazing story about mentoring you were going to share with us?
Indeed. Yes, I did have an interesting story about that. As a member of the club, and a new member came and joined, and she actually was a flight attendant for a major airline carrier. And all of us as members were shocked when she said she was absolutely terrified to speak in front of a group. Of course, you know, we all said, well, what about making the announcements? You know,
right,
don't you have
exactly.
to get on the intercom? Right. And she said, yes, I do have to do that, but I'm able to hide around the corner in the little cubby as I do the announcements, so no one can look at me. And I've been able to get away with that for, you know, the 20 years of my career so far. Well, she joined Toastmasters because she wanted to start a new business. And as part of the business, she was going to have to go and speak to organizations. But again, she was just absolutely terrified. Mm. So I worked with her on several of her first speeches. We got on the phone together. She talked about what she wanted to discuss and ran the outline by me. And we worked together to massage it in some cases. And then we'd have a follow-up phone call after she scripted it out, and she would read the speech to me, and I would give her some feedback. Then she'd go and deliver the speech at the club, and we'd have another follow-up to talk about how that went. So for me, it was really easy. It was just applying what I'd already learned from Toastmasters and sharing it with her on how to be more effective. But to her, it made all the difference, as it gave her that extra confidence and helped polish her skills. And I'm proud to report that, not that it's thanks to me, but she has a successful business now where she is going out and speaking to groups, and says that she's very comfortable. Yeah.
And of course you get a lot, you get a lot from mentoring, but Ryan, did you feel more invigorated or more in tune with Toastmasters at that time when you were doing the mentoring?
Certainly. It gave me an additional sense of purpose and reminded me of the power of what this organization can do for people.
Gotcha. All right.
And I think this brings up a theme that I actually threaded through the whole article, that it's giving back. I think ultimately you reignite that passion and you engage. And I think any endeavor or relationship or activity through giving back, through not just thinking about yourself and through going beyond yourself, you know?
Right. Okay. Nargis, sure. What's number three?
So number three is, this is one of my favorites. It's all about attending the international conference convention or attending a district conference. So I've been to conferences on the district level and absolutely love them, but I've never had the opportunity to go to an international convention, unfortunately, thus far.
Well, I guess this is where I come in. I've been to, the last 6 or 7 different international conferences. And I got to tell you, I absolutely love them, and I will not miss them ever again. It's just an opportunity to meet people that you speak with or communicate, especially me doing what I do with the podcast and Free Toast Host.
Right.
It's just an amazing opportunity to meet people that you do communicate with and learn from some of the best Toastmasters out there in terms of what they have to teach with these educational sessions. And then, of course, you have the speech contest, and it's just very motivating, and just to realize, it's hard to realize how big this organization actually is until you go to one of these international conferences where you see, I mean, literally thousands of people, especially at the international contest, and all the energy around it. It really is invigorating. And every single time I come back from one of the events, I feel like I'm completely renewed, and I'm ready just to go to those club meetings and give it my all. So I really like this one as well. They attend the international conference or district conferences.
And I think I've spoken to so many new members, and I think often they're very nervous about going to their first convention or conference at whatever level. Mm-hmm. And I can't recommend it highly enough, because even going to a district conference is amazing.
Yeah.
And you get that feeling, you bond with people. And Toastmasters, don't you think, guys, they're the friendliest people. They are friends. They're just waiting to meet you. They're waiting to talk to you. You have so much in common with them already.
Right.
It is. It's a wonderful way to make new friends and meet new people and build those connections and relationships. And I thought that was why I wrote that point, because I wanted people to realize that it's not that you go and you may not know anyone. You're going to meet hundreds of people, new Facebook friends and new people that will follow you on Twitter. And these will be your friends probably forever.
Very good. All right. Point number four. What is it?
So work towards your educational goals. Now, this one is really important to me because as a Toastmaster over the years, and I'm sure both of you found this too, people, they get the manuals, but what I find is they lose track or they get sidelined or they get bored when they stop making it a goal. Mm. It has to be a goal. I went through this myself. So when I was working, I'd achieved my ACB, my bronze, and I hadn't done a speech in a while. And so I met with a more advanced Toastmaster, a wonderful guy named Rodney. He's in District 21. And I said, what can I do? Because I wanted to work towards my ACS, my silver. And he pulled out this sheet and he showed me how he had a goal worksheet. So he would actually set goals for himself, that he would do a speech every certain number of weeks. He really focused it, and it made me realize that in any aspect of your life, and especially Toastmasters, you can't lose sight of the fact that these are goals. Mm. These aren't just random things you're doing. There is an end result. You are improving yourself. You're improving your communication skills, your leadership skills, your self-esteem, your self-worth. But you have to make it an action item with, the SMART goals, so specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time measured. You have to actually set yourself a deadline. So I will do a speech every month or every few weeks or every 2 months. And then, most importantly, talk to your VP Ed in your club.
Okay.
Because then they can schedule you in, they can remind you and motivate you, and you can work as a team towards that. So
good stuff.
And that's what I've done.
All right.
Very good.
Number five, and the three of us are Toastmasters here, so we're going to be good at this. We have about another 6 minutes to get through these last five, so we got to put it in overtime. All right. Who's got number five? No, we're all guilty.
That's me. Okay. Number five is all about repeating an educational level. And what I did after I completed my competent communicator is I started working towards an advanced communicator bronze. But I also grabbed a second competent communicator manual and started taking advantage of opportunities when I had a speech I wanted to give that didn't fit into my advanced manual to get credit for it by doing one of the first projects in the CC manual. And I reached a point where I had six done, and in our district, we were doing an extreme speech-a-thon, which was 5 days where we were challenging folks in the district to finish up their CC. So I ended up giving 4 speeches in 4 days. It wasn't maybe the way I would recommend people do their first competent communicator, but it definitely was a great opportunity to just get out there and bang out the speeches and deliver them and get the credit and get the award.
That was a lot of fun. All right.
Yeah, it was.
Number six.
So six is getting involved on your club executive. So this one is really important. Those ties within your club, expanding your own leadership skills and getting more engaged as a Toastmaster is to be a leader in your club. Mm-hmm. If there's something you don't like, if there's a new idea you have, this is the way to do it, to step up. Sergeant at Arms, VP Ed, VP Membership, there are so many different roles you can take, and it'll engage your mind, and it will keep you motivated.
All right. Number seven?
So number seven is another one that I really love. Take part in a speech craft program in your community. So I've actually done this. Our club, Firebirds Toastmasters, on a regular basis, we do speech craft with our local air cadets. Now, they're young people. They're motivated. They come from all different backgrounds. And I cannot tell you how wonderful it is to be a trainer to young people, to the youth of tomorrow, and to air cadets that absolutely... they come in, they're very shy often, and can you remember what it was like being young and having to come up and do a speech? It's terrifying. But to see their growth and development, that's something that I would challenge someone to do that and not come out completely energized. So right. I recommend that to everyone. Get involved in a speech program. It's really, really inspiring.
Good. Very good. And point number eight. Is
the Mentor Culture Club. Now, I know one of you could speak to this.
I'll speak about that one. And that is, once again, sponsor, mentor, or coach a club. I had a lot of experience with this in my time as the Lieutenant Governor of Marketing. And it was just an amazing experience. It was so great, such a great feeling to know that you're actually helping starting a club that could go on way beyond you. I mean, this could go on beyond your life. This club could continue. We have a lot of clubs in our district, Ryan, as you know, and I'm sure in mm-hmm. many districts that have been mm-hmm. around a heck of a lot longer than we have, and many members as well. So just the idea of starting a club, putting it together, and thinking about how many people you're eventually going to help down the road is an amazing feeling. And once again, according about what the article is all about, it is a way to reignite your passion with Toastmasters, because just knowing that, it feels like you really are doing something wonderful for the organization, and mm-hmm. it's just a great thing to do.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. Now, number nine is leading a Moments of Truth educational session on the club level or even higher than the club level. I think this is one of the most significant training sessions that anyone can lead or be part of in Toastmasters, I really do.
Absolutely. That's something I had the opportunity to do a couple of years ago. And what I enjoyed about it, for those who aren't familiar with the Moments of Truth, what it does is basically allows the club, through a facilitated session, to see some of the blind spots in some of the areas where the club could improve in all kinds of areas, in terms of the organization of meetings, how we treat new members, how we are doing in terms of achieving educational awards, and so on. But what I really loved about this was two things. One, it gave me the chance to facilitate a session that really engaged all of the members of the club in a very productive way. It didn't turn into a session of just everybody complaining, although there was certainly critical feedback being offered. But more than that, it not only re-engaged me, but re-engaged other members of the club. And as we concluded the session and went through the different areas where we needed to improve, both regular members of the club as well as officers were stepping up and saying, hey, I could help with that. I could help and make this a little bit better. So it really gave everybody a chance to improve the club and get us all reignited for Toastmasters.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And finally, point number 10.
So volunteer to become a trainer. So I can speak to this. So Toastmasters, as all of our listeners know, have TLIs. So they have leadership institutes. And beyond leadership institutes, there are so many other opportunities to be a trainer. You have your biannual new executive educational sessions where you go through training. And I've been a trainer over many years, and I absolutely love it. And one of the reasons why I love being a trainer is that you learn so much yourself. Because when you're training a group or facilitating, I love the exchange of ideas that takes place. I love all the new information you get. I'm always amazed at how much people get out of those sessions and how much I get, because I think the more I learn and the more I train, the more I realize I really don't know anything. Mm. And it's amazing how much my students will teach me. So I think number 10 really summarizes what the whole article is about: going beyond yourself, giving back, and being open to keep learning. Right. I think that's so profound, and especially as a Toastmaster, that the day you really stop learning, or you stop being open to learning, is the day that you can become complacent and a little bit bored and drift away, and you have to re-engage your mind and your heart in what drew you to Toastmasters. And that's what I wanted to write about.
Great. And I guess if you were to put a number 11 on this list, it could be write an article about reigniting your passion for Toastmasters.
Yeah, probably, yes.
And that would help in the process as well. This was great. Nargis, we really appreciate this. It was a great article, very enjoyable to read, and even more enjoyable to talk about and go through. I had a lot of fun being more active.
Thank you.
In this one.
Really appreciate that. I enjoyed it too.
Very good. Any final questions, Ryan?
I just want to ask Nargis to share with our listeners where folks can go to learn more about her and the work that she does.
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, I have a website, nargisnirumvala.com. I know, horrifically long name to spell. I'm so sorry about that. But I also have a blog, myvancouverlife.wordpress.com. And I'm on all the main social media platforms. So I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and I'm on LinkedIn. So I think people have lots. You just Google my name, and about 5 to 10 pages come up. So you can find me.
Oh, very good. Fantastic. I take it there aren't many other people that share that same name.
No, and those unlucky people, don't you think? Because they don't have to spell their names hundreds of times a day.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, there are several other people on the internet named Bo Bennett that are kind of creeping
really?
Up there. Yeah. One guy writes books on fly fishing. That's not me. Another one writes books
on South
Carolina.
But that's
not a
bad thing. I mean, it's not an embarrassing thing.
Well, another guy's got arrested for drug dealing. So that is not me. I swear it. So that is kind of embarrassing. But
we believe you. We believe you.
Thank you. I'm glad that one person does. Well, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing this information. We appreciate it. And you know, best of luck with your
Thank you. And
event.
I want you to know I had a great time. And I'm a huge fan of the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you.
I think it does a great service to members and even to future members. So I'm always recommending the website to people who are interested in Toastmasters. So
great. Well, thank you.
We appreciate that, Nargis.
And we'll hope to see you soon, maybe at a future convention.
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty. You take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. All righty. Well, that was wonderful. I had a lot of fun. Did you have fun, Ryan?
I certainly did. Certainly did.
All right. Do we have any feedback for this episode?
We've got lots of feedback out at the website at toastmasterspodcast.com. That's where most of it tends to go through. But if folks want to send feedback to us directly, you can give us a call at 1-888-451-8862. You have up to 2 minutes to leave us your voice feedback. You can send us an email, podcast@toastmasters.org, or hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/thetmpodcast.
Very good. Until next time, my name is Bo Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
Bye-bye, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.